podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
It's not been a bad week for Liverpool. It's been a terrible week for Manchester, hasn't it? We go over there and thrash the shit out of them on the weekend, and then the other lot get turfed out of their own cup. Let's have a laugh at Manchester and look forward to Brighton. Welcome to Carnage. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Carnage. Absolutely spotless intro from Conroy. This is amazing. This is a one-off. This is brilliant. Welcome everyone in the chat. Seems like we haven't done a Carnage. Actually, do you know what it is? We haven't had Ross on for a while. That's what's the difference. Ross, how are we doing, man? You haven't seen you in ages and ages. Been busy? No.
Busy. Football's back 2 games a week. Just soaking up, enjoying it at the moment. Well, not so much last night. I did enjoy it, but it wasn't as good as Sunday, was it? Let's all be honest.
Yeah, Sunday was like a dream, isn't it? And we're still kind of every morning pinching ourselves and like asking our loved ones, did it really happen? Are we like, you know, did it happen or am I still in a dream and whatnot? But how was you and how long did it take for you to recover after that? Because I'm sure you had a bit of a celebration after that.
And well, funny enough, I was off. That was the first game I've had off in about 4 years, but I just watched it at home. I started off vertical on the sofa and then just sat up and then ended up stood up towards the end. But like most people, I think you watch the game and then it doesn't hit yet. And then you're trying to soak up all the content. And then I watched all the post-match on Sky Sports, and that was as good as the game for me. Was Souness and Carragher and Gary Neville, and he just spoke for about an hour and a half, just dismantling Manchester United, and then went with 10 minutes to go. Oh, Liverpool were all right, weren't they? And then you're getting all the memes, all just like watching the goals again, and there's that little clip between that goes from Ferguson and they goes to Kenny, and like
that top two loft, didn't it?
One of the best pieces of directorship I've ever seen within football. Just the two ends of the spectrum was amazing, and you just think, you know. You just laughing at the goals. Liverpool were brilliant, and for all of the usual fury when a team news comes out and panicking and people kicking off, we were exceptional. It was brilliant.
But you make a very good point about. I just thought everything was geared around Man United. Sort of the post match coverage, you know, even pre match, Ole's under threat. I thought not enough was made about us, was it, Conroy? I thought we deserved far, far more credit than we got. Don't you think?
Well, I think what happens is you kind of have the shock at the start, and that's what you expect. You know, you're going to go in with the more controversial thing at the start of the post-match analysis. But then it did get to the point where it was like, it was getting a bit ridiculous. Like, you think, we're going to get the chat here. It was like, you know how you have the montage at the end with the goals? That was equivalent to the analysis of Liverpool's performance. That was it.
It was. Listen, before we get stuck into the meaty part of the show, just need to give a very important shout out to my sponsors, Elite Me. Everything CBD, everything you need to do, anything to do with that, get on their website, check them out, www.eliteme.com. Type in LFC10 and you get a 10% discount. Wonderful service, worldwide service, by the way, not just national. It's international. Go check them out. Quality people and quality products. I can guarantee you that for a fact. We've got a question there, Ross, and it's on everyone's lips and everyone. It's the question that sort of everyone's asking, isn't it? Grizz Ross Conroy, after what Salah did last weekend, where do you rank Salah amongst the Liverpool Premier League era players? Oh, okay. So Philip has changed it slightly. He's, go on, Ross. Where Premier League era? Narrows it down slightly. Does it for you, or does it make any difference?
I mean, he's pretty much near the top anyway. I think a bit more longevity, but what he's achieved, his numbers that he's put up on a consistent basis. But I think he's got the addition of the fact that he's got a lot more trophies in the cabinet than a lot of others would have had. You know, Robbie Fowler was my hero growing up, and you know, he's the reason I fell in love with football. But he doesn't have a Premier League title to his name, nor I don't think he's got the Champions League either, does he? Because I think he came back after Istanbul. So it's what Salah's doing now is incredible. You know, I'm just look at the what he's doing. Every time he plays a game of football, he seems to break another record. You know, he's the first person to score a hat-trick at Old Trafford since Ronaldo did it in the Champions League.
Well, the only Premier League player.
The first person to do it since Ronaldo. I'm like, Ronaldo's like one of the best of all time. So Salah's there, sign a contract and just settle that debate.
it's you made a very good point. Every week he seems to either breaking a record or elevating his level to another level. Like, I don't know if you guys heard the manager of the opposition on the weekend, Graham Potter, how he described Salah today. Did you hear it, Conroy? He called him out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, other coaches are sort of recognizing that this guy, and even opposition players, I think they're at a point now where they're realizing that this is like sort of, you know, you talk about the 1 or 2 year, what do they call it? Like they call it the 1 year lucky.
One or two season wonder,
bro. But I think everyone's realizing that this is truly greatness before our very eyes, right?
Absolutely. I think it's the evolution as well, because his first season was not a one season wonder, but it was a bit like surreal, the goals he was scoring. Like, even at times it was past anyone's expectations. But I actually think as a player, and we said this a few times because I think we both agree on this, that he's evolved as a player. Like, he's developed his game, and this is why right now I think he is at the best he's ever been. Just everything seems to be working. It's like he's not even overthinking at times. His decision making is great. He's not running into alleys at times. He's maybe, when he can make the ball do the work, he's doing that, like you saw with the Mane goal at Watford, even the Keita assist at United. He just seems to be not overthinking it, and it just seems to be flowing. I think you said that, Grizz, today, actually. Just seems to be flowing the way he's playing at the moment. And I just think he's just at a different level now. Like, he really is. Like, you can even take, you know, the City goal and the Watford goal, you can actually take those goals away. And like that might be like the icing on top of the cake, because those goals are ridiculous. But his actual gameplay has been outstanding. If the goals weren't there, I'd still be saying it this season, because he's everything. He just, to me, last season was probably good for him as well, because there was a lot of onus on him, and still getting 20 Premier League goals were pretty poor. Do you know what I mean? I think that's actually improved his game though, because you even see it when he's working back now. He's covering Trent. Even the movement, the link up with other players, just. He's at the very, very top of his game right now. And as Ross said, I'm okay with it, because I'm friends, because Grizz has told me to be okay with it a few times. Let it sort the contract to get it signed. I think I just want him to sign it though, just get it announced. But I do think it will happen, because I think the state of football at the moment with the other teams, I know footballers don't always think this way, but I feel like Liverpool is probably the best club to be at. And I'm not just saying that. The only other one who's maybe going to compete in all fronts is City. He's not going to go to City. And as you said, get them signed now before the Spanish giants do come back. So I think it will happen.
He's not playing like someone that's worried about his contract situation,
no.
Is he? And it's mad, because I think you're right about last season as well. I think last season benefited in the sense of, I bet he's happy to be playing with his mates again now. Last season was kind of tough for everybody. And I don't mean that in the nicest possible way. I don't mean that as a discredit to anyone. But obviously,
to the others, yeah.
The way that we built up and we had to play last season was just a bit of a slog. And it would have been for him. But now he's probably realising, like, oh, I've got Keita as an extra runner. You know, I've got my mates around me playing football again. We're playing good football. I don't need to be selfish and take... I don't think he was selfish. I think he was just trying to base his instinct, sorry.
He's maybe only getting one chance a game, Ross, and he's worried last season now. He knows he's going
to
get saved.
Yeah, he's not taking the snapshots. He's bringing others into play, like maybe Keita. But I also think he's getting better in the sense of the Watford and the Man City goals. Every time we talk about Mo Salah for the past 3-4 seasons, after his first season, was like, he's got two men on him. because that's the only way you could stop Salah. Now it's getting to the point where not just Watford, Man City, one of the best teams in Europe, are putting four men on him and they still can't get the ball off him. What do you do after that? Because you can't put five people on him because you've got there's no left in your team to mark everybody else. So he's taking people away, more people away from likes of Manny and Bobby and Jota, whoever else is playing, and creating space and opportunities for others to score goals. And we're getting more goals from midfield this season, which is what everybody's been asking for.
And that's exactly the point that you made about sort of last season or seasons gone by, where everyone's focusing on Salah or even Mane. And then because of our lack of goals in midfield, not many are concentrating or watching our midfield. This season, maybe it's a tactical thing. Maybe Pep Linders and Klopp have sort of made it this way, but all our midfielders have scored. Literally, I think every single one of our midfielders has scored. Even Thiago scored, right? Yeah, Thiago has scored, hasn't he?
He should have had two as well, but I think he got a header saved at point blank range.
And he got the header disallowed as well, because Salah was offside.
So the fact that Salah's sort of very much part of this plan and tactical plan, and he knows about it and he's aware of it. And as you said, Conroy, what an example of that Keita assist. Like, I know, it's so obvious, in seasons gone by, Salah would have used that as a decoy, taken it on his left. Do you remember the goal he scored against Southampton? Away.
Yeah, when
he was in a similar run. And then he just takes it himself and bangs it in.
Pass.
We all screamed pass, exactly.
And he was in a bad run then as well, because he was getting unfair criticism, but he was getting a bit of criticism then. I remember that. But when he scored that goal, I just remember thinking, he's just got a mentality. I think his inner mentality is, it's just noise around him, if you know what I mean, even if he is in a bad run. And he's in the best run right now. And to be honest, I think with the comments as well, maybe you can't look too much into that, but the fact that he's saying he is really happy to be here and the group around him as well. I mean, you look at the defence as well. You've just got Kanate in, who just strolled at Old Trafford as well. Everything looks like it's on the up, and I think we'll keep him. I think it'll be fine, but just let's get it announced sooner rather than later. That's all I would say.
I'm not going to delve into it too much, but I expect an announcement literally any week.
Yeah,
it's been done for a couple of weeks now, so wouldn't even think about it. Panic's over. I mean, you could tell, as you said, you could tell from his body language, everything. Even Klopp in the press conference, when he was actually pressed on it, he said, "We'll see," with a smile on his face. You know, it's all, and that's a massive, it will be a massive lift. I think it'll be a massive lift for the players around, especially after the season we had last season. And you're absolutely spot on, Ross, about in terms of the great players always want to play with your fellow great players. We've got a bond, haven't we? Friendship. You can see from the inside training videos and the camaraderie and the friendliness. And it's almost like they missed each other, didn't they? Because COVID and then the injuries to certain players. You could forgive them maybe for coming into training and thinking, oh, when is this going to end, right?
Yeah, I think this might sound a bit dramatic, but I think when anyone comes through a bit of adversity, you know, you're always stronger when you come out the other side of it. And that's 100%. The same for footballers. And I don't care how much they get paid. I still think footballers want job satisfaction, and they want to go into the workplace, and they want to be happy. Going in, like you said, you know, you've got teammates dropping left, right and centre. You know, you're asking the front three, sorry, lads, Jota's out for 3 months. Just play three times a week for us. There's no fans, so you're not going to enjoy it. You've lost half your teammates behind you, so the football's not going to be the same. Oh, and you've lost at home to Burnley, and you've lost at home to Brighton. Like, I know you feel like shit. And then you've got Alisson losing his dad, Klopp's lost his mum, and then Klopp's got to motivate all those players despite feeling like a bag of crap as well. They must have been the same as us and gone,
of course,
just get to the end of the season and just stop, get everybody back, and we'll go again. And they'll look around and they'll realise the quality of the players that they had around them. Again, that's not a discredit to Reece Williams or Matt Phillips or whoever else played in the field. Curtis Jones, James Milner, I think Gini Wijnaldum played a lot of games in the field week in, week out, because there was nobody else and they had to play. They were probably playing at 70, 80%, knackered. And again, losing, morale's on the floor. We had no momentum. We'd lost it. And the target was get top four. And that Alisson header, I think, just, you know, couldn't have been more poignant. The fact that, you know, we just lost his dad. We all felt crap, as I just mentioned. And I think it was probably the lift that everybody needed, including fans, players, and Alisson himself. So to come back in now, you've got the fans back in the stands. We're 23 games unbeaten. Everything's going well. You've got everyone in the summer that signed contract extensions, moving in the right direction. you get Mo Salah on board with that as well. And I don't think he's got an issue with money, to be honest. I think he just wants to be paid what the going rate is. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I think he deserves
absolutely.
It. I think, again, in any other workplace, if you're one of the best at your job in the world, you want to be rewarded reasonably, like everybody else. When you've seen counterparts, what Ronaldo, Messi, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, some of the best players in world football get, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for, you know, a little bit more. And he's, we should be paying it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's within his rights to ask for the market rate or the going rate, especially as he's the best player in the world, never mind the Premier League. And Conroy, Kevin makes a brilliant point, as usual. All these guys don't commit their best years to us without talking to each other. I'm convinced they will extend. We've seen most of the big guns done already. And it's true, when they've come through this cycle, and Ross talks about adversity, and he's spot on, sort of they've come through together through all this turmoil, personal tragedies, et cetera, et cetera. There is, in my opinion, the best bond I've seen amongst the Liverpool squad. Like, I've never seen harmony and sort of tightness within the bond, an almost mate-like sort of atmosphere. Kev's got a point, right?
No, I think he's absolutely spot on. I think as well, it kind of puts us at ease that everyone else is kind of signed. And I know you might look in, I know Ross had mentioned there that Salah's quite happy, and we maybe always can't look into that with players. But I think with Salah, you know, that's the truth. And he's been with these players for a long time now. They're all signed up. You've got Robbo and Trent who signed up as well for the next 45 years. So you kind of, you've got the making of keeping the team together, and you add depth to that going forward. And I feel like, absolutely, it seems to be that the harmony, I think Avi just said in the chat, the brotherhood there, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
You talk about the highs. Remember Gerrard always had a really good quote. He said when he won a trophy, it was like, I always enjoyed it, but I always was balanced because I remembered the lows. So I feel like you could look at that in the mentality of the team, like they've been through some amazing highs, you know, the Champions League, the Premier League. But then you talk about last season, just in general, that feeling, the COVID pandemic in itself was a massive thing at the very start, being a lockdown, and then obviously the tragedies like Fabinho and Alisson's and Fowler. So I feel like that does bring people together. The highs and lows will definitely do that. And I think Kev's spot on, as usual, as you say, that I think that they will extend, and it'll be, let's be honest, in my lifetime, you say, like, you talk about the harmony, but really, have you ever had a team that you think back, and obviously the 80s will say was all world class, and I'm not saying maybe every player is, but that system and that team is. So it's like to keep them there and have a chance to get the best out of those players, and then they can pass that experience on to maybe newer players who come in the team, a bit like what Jota's done for the front three. I know you said earlier, guys, now it's like the Fab Four, really, isn't it? And that's kind of released Firmino. I just feel like it just makes a lot of sense. I think the logic for him to go anywhere else right now just doesn't really work for me, if it's for the harmony and for challenging.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny because we've spoken about harmony and being organized and together for the last five seasons, I guess. And then, you know, it culminated in sort of us going to Old Trafford with United absolutely all over the fucking show. I mean, how beautiful it was, you know, the state of them. It's like a circus over there at the moment, isn't it? Like, you've got Ole under threat, and then managers saying they want the job, but Ole's like, Conte's apparently literally saying, give me the signal, and then half the owners want Ole in, half of them are Ole out, half of them want to protest, half of them don't want to protest, but we loved it. And then coming into this midweek, we're going to the uncharted territory of quarterfinals, people. We are
Can't believe it.
Because if you think about it, right, he reached the final in his first season,
yeah,
where we played City, and that's it, really. I think we probably haven't progressed after that, past like when the big teams come in, unless someone can tell me otherwise. And suddenly we're a game away from semi-finals, right? Like, we're in the quarterfinals now. If we get a nice draw, like, you know, we could be in the semi-finals. Did you enjoy it, Ross? I'm
nope.
Going to be honest. I'll get out. Yeah, exactly. I'll say my bit, and then you can say your bit.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it, but I still wanted to get through, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, in the end, I was like, we'll still get through, because it's important for the squad and the youngsters and the fringe players, for that flat par.
Yeah, it was boring, wasn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. And it was quite the come down from Sunday against Manchester United.
It was always going to be the Ross, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
it was never going to be the same.
For me, but it was like watching Breaking Bad, right? And then watching Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah, I like Better Call Saul.
Yeah, but it wasn't Breaking Bad, was it?
No, of course not, but it gets good Better Call Saul.
It's
like us in 17-18 Better Call Saul, and not when we've won the championship. It's like 17-18 rock and roll football.
And my perspective has changed slightly in the past few days of the Carabao Cup. I've never actively wanted us to go out of the Carabao Cup. I don't have an issue with it. I understand why people might have a bit of a problem and all this stuff that comes out that Klopp's, you know, using second-rate players or fringe players or youth players and he's disrespecting the cup. I've never ever thought that. I just thought he's trying to manage his squad to the best of his ability to challenge one of the best title challenges in Man City that there ever has been. You don't get 90-odd points in a couple of seasons by playing those players in more games and more competitions with very little reward at the end of it, which is okay as a trophy, but also it's what, like 100, 200 grand for it, where you get loads more. The monetary value isn't there. The incentive isn't there. However, I would like a trophy in the cabinet. But now, like last night, I think it's great. The likes of Saka Minamino, David Origi, Oxlade-Chamberlain, people that are coming back from injury. It's perfect competitive football for those guys. Youth players, Tyler Morton. Hopefully we should have seen Kate Gordon last night, but he obviously got injured. Muskoski wasn't playing because I think he picked up an injury as well. But there's all these players that need this experience within Liverpool Football Club, because if you go back, I don't know, pre-Klopp, to try and get in this Liverpool side, probably wasn't that difficult. Trent was trying to replace Nathaniel Clyne, but everyone says Nico Williams is crap, but he's not. He's trying to come in and fill the shoes of the best right back in world football. The standards of this club and what you have to do and what you have to be week in, week out are through the roof. You're not going to go and do that. So we can be in a competition where we can use these players, and then if we need them in a Premier League game or a Champions League game, they're not coming straight out of the cold, then fine. And at the end of it, all those players have got a rest last night because all these players are taking part. Then good, we've got a squad, we're supposed to use it for that competition, and we get to the latter stages and we're still going strong and it doesn't affect what we do in the Premier League or the Champions League, and go for it.
Absolutely. It's key, isn't it? It's key that we've kind of wanted a squad capable enough to sort of participate in the domestic cups for like last 3-4 seasons. We've been crying out for sort of squad players that can step in or not only rely on kids. And yesterday, Conroy, there wasn't that many kids. All right, we've mentioned Tyler Morton. Before we move on, I didn't do my research and I was totally wrong. Philippa and Laura Duffy in the chat have corrected me. So we got to the EFL Cup final when he first came in. Semi-finals 2017, I totally forgot about that. Lost round 3 to Leicester, 19, lost round 4 to Chelsea. I remember that because I was there for fucking Adrian in goal.
But you could say when we're challenging for the title, as soon as we've been able to challenge, the League Cups have kind of fell. Because I think even the one was Southampton, we lost two in the semis. We weren't really 17-18, that was top four. That just weren't really challenging for the title that year, were we? So
it's absolutely spot on. Because I think Ross mentioned earlier that we didn't have the squad depth to challenge on all fronts. And, you know, he just, you know, made sure that we were absolutely in tip-top condition for the Premier League and the Champions League. And yeah, but I think once we've won the Premier League and the Champions League, and once we've kind of added to the squad, I've changed my tune on the League Cup as well and the domestic trophies. Like, I was like, I couldn't give two Fs about them. I just want that Premier League. But once we've reached that Premier League, we can't suddenly forget the cups that made us the club we are, if you know what I mean. Like, when we count major honours, we count them as major honours, right? We still do, whether we like it or whether we don't. When we get into an argument with a Man United fan, when we count our major honours, the cups are part of them. So, you know, there comes a point where you have to start taking them slightly seriously, you know, because the club we are, the size of the club we are. And I think we're slightly doing that. Was there any standouts for you, Conroy, yesterday? Did you enjoy
I've got anyone? To be honest, I think Ross kind of touched on it. I've been quite impressed with Nico recently. I'm one of the people, I don't think he is good enough for us. However, I'm open to be proven wrong. And I feel like when he came on against Watford, he got assist. And his performance last night, you could say I don't know if it went down as two, but he at least got one assist. And at a vital time as well, it's 0-0. Puts the ball in, and it's some finish by Minamino, to be honest. It's Minamino just seems to do things like that. I don't know. Even his goal against Norwich, his second goal, I still don't know how that went in. He's just, he's one of those players. He seems to love this cup, which is great. But Williams, for me, I think this has given him confidence. Because for me, he's obviously a confidence player. You can just look at him, and at times, I've seen him for Wales, especially in the Euros, he looks like he gets in his own head, and he can really have a poor game and confidence-wise. And there's lots of players like that. So I feel like this tournament's really vital for him. So I'm really pleased we're through the quarterfinals. I'd say Williams and, I don't know, I know you're going to talk about it, but I've got to give a shout-out to Origi, because that goal, I mean, obviously, he's probably tried that 100 times in his career and it's never went in. But you know what? When it goes in, that's what people are going to remember. They're not going to, what a goal. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Ross, the two talking points, or the only, well, from our point of view, like, yeah, the first half, they could have been 2-3 up, right? And the guy I usually curse, like, the most, Adrian, comes out. Really? Credit, yeah, credit where credit's due. Look, I'll whisper it. I won't say it too loud, right? He done okay. He done well. Couple of outstanding saves. And, you know, typical Adrian, he goes and shows off about it the following morning, like, on his social media. Like, that just winds me up. I'm sorry, I can't control it, I can't help it, right? He just winds me up. Like, he's so not humble. Like, comparing to our...
No, it's actually two really good saves. It is actually two really good, yeah, saves as well. And it's not even like a standard one. But no, what I mean is, you're right, Chris. If he just went quiet and not mentioned it,
look, you'd probably have keepers, more respect for him. And, for, yeah, yeah. And Alisson are just two of the nicest people you just want to chill with. If you wish you was their friend, kind of thing. This guy is like one of those ones that you just want to avoid always. Like, if he was in his class or playground, like, leave.
It must be hard to be a goalkeeper. See, he'd be a I don't know. I get what you're saying, and people are going to say, right, he's been a free agent his whole career. But I just imagine you've got to have some sort of mentality to be in a person who's, let's be honest,
yeah, last year,
the majority of people.
That.
So I don't know. I get what you're saying, Chris, but I don't know if it's arrogance or it's just, he just likes to, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe
he's just a happy bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a happy bloke.
Possibly.
We've been to John Atterberg a couple of weeks ago, and he basically said, like God, Roy's saying there, it's hard to get someone who's going to be third choice and be happy. He knows his role within that squad, but he's got, as much as people don't like him, the experience within Premier League football, okay, might be as good as Alisson or what Keller's potential is going to go and be. But for camaraderie and having that little team unity of goalkeepers with inside training every weekend to have someone that's happy, because most third choice goalkeepers was like, why are we not playing kick up a fuss? If you've got someone that's going to be happy and keep morale up within the goalkeeping unity, then it's that side of it isn't a bad thing to have. But whereas when he's playing, okay, I think we all had our doubts yesterday, but he made two cracking saves, and actually Nico Williams probably made an even better one with his face. He just made it safe. So he comes in, he's done his job. You know, Alisson got his rest. Keller, okay, couldn't play. Come in, done it like everybody else that you mentioned before, did the job, clean sheet. Fine, you know, he should be happy.
Yeah, he should be. I'm just being a grumpy old man. Red Steve, you're probably right. I probably did ask him to the problems in my younger days. Probably, and I'm still holding a grudge, probably. But look, the two incidents. So we touched upon sort of Nico's assist, but the ball was actually played by Tyler Morton, right, Ross? Who actually did impress me. In my pre-match show over on my channel, I spoke about, I'm looking forward to him because seeing him playing, because he was one of the pretty much dead on certs out of the youngsters that was going to play because of the lack of central midfielders we had. And a lot was said about him, and a lot has been said afterwards. And the more you heard Pep talk about him, Pep Linders, in the press conference, you keep an extra eye, don't you? When someone like Pep Linders talks about football, you listen, right? You're absolutely engrossed in what he says. And then secondly, you do actually keep an eye on that player that he's referring to, talking about. And he spoke about his calmness and his maturity and how he was prompt and how he, in training and in preseason, he's been prompting seniors like around him, not overruled. I saw that a lot yesterday. It wasn't outstanding. I'm not going to suddenly start talking about, you know, our version of Busquets, but I saw a lot in his game that I was really sort of impressed with at that age.
Yeah, and it's difficult as well, because I think that's one position that we, talking about squad depth, that we kind of lack depth in, is that number six area. Obviously, we've got Fabinho, but when he doesn't play, it's noticeable. you know, well, Jordan Henderson does a good job and he's improved a lot in there. But I think Atletico, you can kind of see Fabinho would have been loads better. I think Tyler Morton, did he come on in the second half against Norwich?
He did, yeah.
In the EFL Cup, and he stood out in that game, as he stood out in that fixture as well. But, you know, his calmness, his composure, his positioning, more so than anything, and then the confidence, because that ball to Nico Williams, as good as we're praising Nico Williams for the assist, I think his run's exceptional as well on what Trent would do. And you have to give him credit for that. But to pick out the ball against the Championship opposition, where the pressure's on him, you know, you're playing for Liverpool, you're expected to get through to the next round of the Cup, and he's just taking it within his stride, playing with the likes of Curtis Jones, who he will see Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, and go, okay, there's a pathway for me here. If I work hard enough and I prove myself, there's a chance I can do that. But also, he's in training with the best. You know, he's going to training with the likes of Jordan Henderson, Kirby, and Fabinho. So he's going to learn his game. If he backs himself, that's one of the things I quite like about Curtis Jones. He backs himself. He's got the confidence. Like, I think he knows now that he's worthy of a first team place, or in the first team squad at Liverpool Football Club. Tyler Morton's just at a different stage of that, I think. But he needs to play these games, as I said before, in the EFL Cup, or, you know, substitute appearances here and there to get him there. So hopefully, if we get into we beat Atletico next week, and we've got two relatively not easy games or dead rubber games in the Champions League, because we should be more or less through. You start building blocks for these players and go, actually, you can come on an away trip and you can play half an hour, because you're building these experiences, and all these nerves that you will have will go behind you, and you'll be, the more that you play, the more ready that you'll be.
It's true. Kev asked the question what the future holds for him, Conroy, and I totally get what Ross is saying about, in terms of, can you imagine how much he will learn playing with the best? The likes of Fabinho, Henderson, Milner, Thiago. I mean, you can't get a better collection of central midfielders, probably, you know, all around Europe. And he will have seen Curtis Jones develop, as he says, as well, training with the likes of all the players mentioned, and not being sent out on loan. But then you look at the experience Harvey Elliott picked up, and that one season loan. So, in my opinion, I think he's at that age where he needs a loan, not now. I mean, sort of assess it next summer. Yeah. But it's got to be such a crucial loan, like such a crucial club, just like Harvey Elliott was really handpicked in terms of the style, because you don't want to curb this natural, people are talking about his natural football brain and ability. And you saw that in abundance. I did anyway, because I'm a real football man. Don't know about you, Conroy. But I saw him like an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, right? But like physically an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, but I saw the brain and maturity of a far more experienced player. So, A, would you send him out on loan next season, or would you still keep him and keep him learning within the first team squad? And B, if you do send him on loan, would you say that the type of club and the coach is imperative?
Yeah, I agree, Grizz. The reason I'm saying that is I think the Elliott loan showed you, I think we looked at Blackburn as well, that was a good club. I think if I remember rightly, he was playing with Bradley Dack, and I think it was Adam Armstrong, I might be wrong there, I think it was Adam Armstrong at Blackburn, but I know it was definitely Bradley Dack, and there was a good relationship there, and the style of play, it allowed him to develop that maturity. I completely agree. Off the top of your head, guys, what type of club do you think Morton would suit in the Championship right now? And it's easy, so say if I'm thinking he's a tidy player, wants a team who's maybe playing out from the back or plays possession, you maybe look at a Bournemouth example, but Bournemouth have already basically got a very strong team in midfield, so you're maybe looking a bit lower down the leagues. Primarily a possession plays team would really suit him, because I know a lot of people are saying about his physical attributes now, but there is obviously, you have to be slightly strong for certain areas. But if your brain's got it, I mean, there's numerous midfielders who've showed you that their brain's ahead of anybody who's, like, you know, built like a brick shit house. They can just work it around, and there's lots of examples there at the moment. So I think it would be vital. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking maybe a team like a Swansea would maybe be a good move, like with the kind of philosophy they uphold, the possession wise. There's probably a few others as well, but off the top of my head, Fulham, I think Fulham's another good shout as well.
Yeah.
Fulham's a good shout.
Fulham, West Brom, depending on whether they get promoted or not. But I think the other team that we really got, I'm not sure he'd actually get in them, is Brentford. You know what I mean? Even if it's. But I think that's a bit too much for him.
Too soon.
They're a good side, but in terms of, like, you know, like you're saying there, the style of play, I think that's someone, you know, possession-based team where I think you get the most out of him.
Sorry, Red Steve's comment, that's brilliant. I don't know if you guys get that. It says, send Morton to Greenock just for shits and giggles because it's called Greenock Morton. the place is called that.
Okay.
That's brilliant.
Paulie Walnuts here says, Blackpool, go play for Critchley. That would kind of make sense because, yeah, Critchley would know all about him.
Mm.
Probably. Yeah, he'd definitely know about him. Maybe not all about him, but he would definitely know about him. Because he wasn't, would he be under? I don't know. But yeah, that would make sense. A lot of people mentioned sort of Blackburn. Haven't we sent out, who's that loan to Blackburn? It was Harvey Elliott last season. Isn't there a player, someone in the chat, let me know. I'm sure there's someone out on loan to Blackburn or someone that was linked or one of our ex-players or something. But again, Tony Mowbray, look how he developed Harvey Elliott for us. Maybe that's a shout as well.
He's done that in Scotland as well, Grizz. He's got not to jump on the Scottish thing again, but what he's done at Hibernian and stuff like that, he's numerously done that in his career.
Leighton Clarkson.
Leighton Clarkson. But Mowbray's got a track record of doing that, to be fair. He's always brought youth products or maybe on the fringe of getting first team players, really developed them. So fair play to Mowbray. He's done that quite a few times.
Kev reminds us we've got Williams at Swansea as well. So we've got quite a good relationship, haven't we, with a few clubs in the Championship where they've done well for our youngsters and whatever. So that's one to keep an eye on. Yeah, I just thought he was nice. He was I thought it was a nice performance. I thought he wasn't overruled and I thought he showed maturity. Any worries and any issues that you saw, like sort of in terms of players that you thought this was their chance?
It's difficult because when the team is so mixed, and I know we play the same style of football, we always play the same way, but I think it's hard to judge players. Like Ox was the first one that came to mind when you said something then, but I think it's really difficult when he's mixed with youth players and players he doesn't play with, but also he's had opportunities where he's played with the first team and he comes on and it was a pre-season game and he was an absolute animal. I thought, okay, sound. He's back and then he goes up as he dips and he's not consistent and then he'll play a 45 minutes. He came on against Manchester United and he was brilliant. And then yesterday he showed glimpses of being brilliant, but also glimpses of not being able to pass the ball 5 yards. And I don't know whether it's frustration at him or for him at this point. And
do you think he feels more that he needs to do it when it's the younger, like he needs to have that standout moment?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, and he's probably putting too much pressure on himself because he made that pass to Tsimikas and he was clearly pissed off with himself because he's better than that. And you know, whether he's trying too hard, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
And he's probably putting too much pressure on himself.
I could see him playing and being good. And sorry, guys, I could see him actually playing on Saturday and starting and playing great. Like, because that's what he seems to do at the moment. It's strange, Ox. He's an enigma.
It is. It's true. It's you know, Ross and Kev are saying that it's very, very it's very difficult to judge players when it's so disjointed and everything. And I thought it was. I know we haven't mentioned Harvey Blair. Is it Harvey Blair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit confusing. Harvey Elliott, Blair. I mean, that was a bit of a shock that he started. No one saw that one coming. He's only recently come back from injury. I thought it was a bit unfair of Klopp to put him in at the deep end. I don't know what you guys thought.
I don't think that was the plan, though, was it? Because it would have been Kate Gordon. It would have been
100% would have been Kate Gordon. There was something about sort of. I thought Mane may get a few minutes or a half because of the fact that he didn't play against. United, but yeah, look, at the end of the day, none of our big guns, I think, like a lot of our big guns didn't travel, like you know, so how perfect was that? Feet up, so that means they've had like the whole of Sunday afternoon off, right? Then they've had the whole of this week off. What a perfect time to go and play Brighton, right? Sunday 3 p.m. kickoff. And you know what? It's someone was telling me earlier that it's all three title contenders, as I see it, are kicking off at the same time on Sunday. So Man City, who are home to Palace.
Yes, Palace, yeah.
Chelsea are away to Newcastle, fuck's sake. They played Norwich last week, and if you could hand pick another team, it'd be Newcastle. So they've got Newcastle.
Chelsea will win that.
Yeah, oh yeah, handsomely. And then you got us at home to Brighton. Now, I know we spoke about last season and everything, but Brighton's one of those teams that, even though last season was the state we were in, they've got quite an awkward record against us in terms of, what I mean by that is they make it awkward for us, even though we've won. A couple of our victories have been just by the solitary goal and things like that, you know. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be very honest. I think it's going to be an awkward game. It will be far tougher than Man United. And you couldn't Absolutely. Make that up, right? So we were talking about, we're going to Old Trafford. That's going to be a doddle, right? And then we've got Brighton, and that's going to be tougher. But 2021 people, you know what I mean? They're in the dumps. That's their level. You know what I mean? Brighton are fifth. I love this coach. I've got a lot of time for Graham Potter.
Me too.
They're probably my favourite second team. Are you expecting an awkward game, Conroy, or what's your hopes and aspirations going in? I mean, we know our aspirations.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on though, Grizz, because even as far as I remember, Potter was in charge. Comments can correct me if I'm wrong. When Alisson got sent off, or was that maybe the Hughton before him? But even in the previous games, even last season when they won, it's always a tough game. Even tactically, I think Potter does adapt against us. He'll still try to play football, but it's a bit like, you know, Thomas Frank with Brentford. Like, he'll try and adapt because he's not just going to play into our hands, because that would be like suicide. But some teams have done that in the past. What Man United probably done? That's the best example of that. But I do think that he'll kind of tweak it. And the best thing about Brighton, the way they play, is he has got some very big lads to become very good with their feet, to be honest, and playing a free that protects them if maybe they're not all great with their feet. But like, so Webster's quite good with his feet. Dan Burn, very impressed with Dan Burn. Did not think he had that footballing ability, so fair play to the guy. And people like Shane
Duffy. He's actually out.
He's out. But he's, so for example, they can play, but then if he wants to be difficult and kind of play a mid or a low block, he can do that as well. And you can't look at it the same as he just sits in. They're definitely adapt for different teams, and that's what I like about Brighton. And I think last year, in fairness to them, when they came and they won, their game plan paid off like massively. It was exactly what they planned for. So I do think it'll be awkward, but obviously, Grizz, we've got the team back now. We're flying. I do think we'll have to be patient. I know some of the comments said if we score early, completely agree. I think these games absolutely change if you score early. But yeah. I wouldn't get overran. I said this before, I said they wouldn't win 5-0 against Watford and 1-5-0. So I'm not going to say that. But I do think we'll probably have to be a bit more patient, because I think tactically they're going to be much better to stop us. But I think we'll have enough. Just one of those patient games. We might not fly and score four goals in the first half again. That might not happen. But it might. It might. You never know. But I think it'll be a bit more of a kind of be patient with the ball, break them open, get our goal, and then we can just control it from there out.
Yeah, Ross, you're a fan of Potter. And secondly, like sort of, Conroy talks about not getting out of the blocks and sort of maybe having to be patient. But the good memories I have of playing Brighton is when we know that they're going to play football, and we know we're the best pressing machine around. And do you remember at Brighton, we went like sort of, Naby scored after like 2 minutes or something, 1 minute after the first press. And even watching Man City last week, even though the second half was bloody good and they could have got much more than just a solitary goal they got, we saw Man City like literally kill the game before half time. Do you expecting a fast start carrying on from the demolition job at Old Trafford, or do you think it's going to have to be a patient job because they're so tactically good? Like, they haven't got the players that you sort of that spring to mind straight away and you think, oh, he's brilliant, wow, he's world class. But as a unit, as a collective unit, and in terms of someone mentioned earlier, their pressing will be absolutely completely different to the shambles that was Man United's, right?
Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for them, to be honest, and particularly Graham Potter. I don't think I don't think he's been taken seriously by a lot of people, including myself, previously, because he just looks like a very beige man. I think I once described him as, but you can't nothing but have respect for the way they are. But I quite like the fact that the fifth, because I think that makes us, we have to be less complacent. It's not Brighton or the 17th. Let's rock up 3 o'clock, 3 points, it's in the bag. It won't be like that at all. They've only conceded 9 goals. So obviously their issue has been going forward. They've already scored 9 goals. But I think that our fans should take that into account as well. But it won't be a piece of piss. You know, there's a reason why the fifth in the table. I think they had a good finish towards the end of last season as well. You've obviously had a lot of injuries like most other people. I remember the days where we played three at the back with Genie in there, and we went and beat them. You know, they were they were some of the days, but they're not like that anymore. So I think you have to take that. You have to take Brighton into account and have respect for. And obviously, they've missed Bissouma for a few weeks. He obviously played last night in his game. It makes a big difference because it was someone that we were chasing in the summer, who we've all would have had in our side. Lamberty as well, you know, they get integrating youth into that side. I quite like them.
It's mad, isn't it? The two best players are likely to come back for this game. It's mad.
But in terms of the way that the game's going, I could easily agree with Conroy and just go, like, I think I predicted 2-0 on our build-up show today, because I'd just take it 2-0, because I don't think smashing them 4-5-0 is... It is achievable, but it's also not, because they're well-organised, they're well-drilled, they're complete opposite to Man United. You've got players that are built into a system, that play to a system, and are all on the same page, which, funnily enough, makes a massive difference in games of football. But also, because you mentioned Sadio Mane before and him having not played, I think in the best possible way, I think he will be annoyed, and I think he'll be pumped up and wanting to prove a point, because he didn't play against Manchester United, because he didn't play on Wednesday, because he's seen Bobby score goals, because he's seen Jota score goals, because obviously Mo's the main man at the minute. Healthy competitiveness is one of the best things about this football club at the minute. And for all the moaning about squad depth and what we've had, we're using our squad and we're giving players like Mane a rest because we can. And you mentioned last season, just play three times a week because there's nobody else because Jota's injured. Well, actually, no, we're going to use you, give you a rest as and when you need it. I don't care what game it is. And you'll come back. I think you'll play Brighton and he'll be pumped up for it. And I think he's going to be one of those people, one of those games where I think he might grab the game by the scruff of the neck, because we haven't seen that from him for such a long time.
It's true, because a couple of my mates were lucky enough to get to Old Trafford on Sunday and sneak in. Well, not sneak in. They paid for it. Why would they sneak in?
That's why United fans when there's a riot.
Yeah, exactly. but he says the only disappointment from the whole event and day and everything was Sadio Mane didn't celebrate or come to the crowd or anything. Like, he was one of the guys, he was the only one that just went straight down the tunnel. And look, you know, Sadio, as Ross says, there'll be plenty of frustration built in. The fact that they're so competitive with each other, it's absolutely brilliant, brilliant for us. We're going to this game with, it's fair to say, quite a healthy looking squad. I think it's, you know, normally we say, normally we have a quite a good understanding of sort of 9-10 of the players. I think we've got a bit of a selection dilemma, people, here. I don't know if we want to break it down together as opposed to sort of give our individual thoughts on it. So I think it's fair to say the Liverpool released pictures of players and you've got sort of Twitter going mad and wild as it does, right? So earlier in the week, Pep said that Fabinho is likely to be back and Thiago may join in training later, and Naby was touch and go because of the bruising. Well, unless he was lying or what, he threw a total curveball, because Fabinho was the one that wasn't in training. Thiago and Naby were fully... took part, I believe, in full training, not even just the rondos. So that gives us plenty of options in midfield, right, people? Because we've still got Jones, we've still got the returning Hendo, Milner's out. So I think...
Ox.
I think
you got Ox, yeah.
Ox,
yeah. I mean, yeah, look, I was frustrated with Ox, but he did show signs of life. Like, I prefer... No, but do you get what I mean? Like, with Ox... Like, you know what I mean? Like, Ox at his best when he shows signs of life. Like, he's at his worst when he's just, you know, like playing at like 50% pace, it seems. But when he's like trying things, I don't mind if they don't work, because I know he's trying it. I think the biggest dilemma I've got in my head is one of the biggest dilemmas, there's quite a few. The centre-back situation. I didn't expect Matip to start against Preston, lads. I don't know about you guys. I thought that was a bit of a surprise. Inclusion. What does that say for Saturday lunchtime? Does Konate keep his position, Conroy, or do you think it's?
You'd think so, but he's done this before, and then I've been like we're certain that Matip wouldn't play against Preston. I wouldn't be shocked if he played against Brighton. However, especially if we've been at home, I do think it's maybe an indication that Konate will play. Is maybe a reward of how well he played against United to keep his spot. But who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Matip, but I would go for Kanate this time. That's just a signal that with Matip and Gomez playing last night, Kanate will start against Brighton. It must be very hard as well to smash United 5-0 and then lose your spot in the next Premier League game. As much as Klopp's good at, you know, adapting and rotating, which I think he will going forward, he can maybe easily say, right, Joel, I need you to play this game. It's a tough away game here. And I'm just going to let Kanate have the other game at the weekend. You take a rest. And then we'll look to see if we can get you in the following week. So I think it will be Kanate.
You know, Ross, he's got, will he have Atletico in midweek in mind? Or do you think that'll take care of itself? We just got to concentrate. I don't know. Maybe they do plan these things. I'm pretty sure they do.
They say they don't, but they do. So that one game at a time, media bullshit, but they obviously don't. And particularly when it comes to Joel Matip as well, because I think there was all a brief moment yesterday when he got substituted at half-time and we all thought he was injured, because we've had a good run of Joel Matip so far this season. He's been brilliant, but obviously it was a pre-planned substitute, so that's fine. I agree with Conroy. I think you go Kanate, Van Dijk for Brighton, and I think you go Van Dijk and Matip for Atletico.
I'd love that, Ross. If you could do two Van Dijk, that would be amazing, mate.
What's the point? He's got a Madden 2, so I'll just bring it with him.
Exactly.
It'd be fine. Kanate, Van Dijk on Saturday, and then Van Dijk, Matip on Wednesday against Atletico. I think that's what the score is.
Because possibly.
I'd love to start Kanate against Atletico, but I just think that level of experience that Joel Matip's got in European competitions outweighs Kanate a little bit, and that's not a negative on Kanate. That's just, you know, it's not a must-win game, is it, against Atletico, but it would be lovely to win it.
But it's beautiful, isn't it? Look how we're talking about centre-backs and options. It's fucking getting me a little excited, and I'm so calm.
Yeah, like, last season the choice was one player, that was Nat Phillips.
Me or you? Last season was me and you, at some stage, but
it's when Klopp does that thing where it's like he's on the plane and he's like saying all the different names. It's like when Klopp's come back to the caring staff to find the centre back.
it's true. Big Six Bands, thanks for the super chat. He says, does Ox start on Saturday for you guys? So yeah, this is where it gets a bit tricky in midfield, guys. So I think we all agree that Kanate will start at the back, and then Henderson for sure starts at the DM, and then which two go alongside him? Is there someone nailed on that you say, all right, you nail him on, because he's not, because I genuinely don't think there is, lads.
You think Henderson will start?
I think Henderson definitely starts. Yeah. Because Fabinho missed today training, and we know that Klopp wants 2 days of training, at least two sessions. So even
I think Jones and Henderson definitely, and it's the third position I'm unsure of, because I don't know, Thiago having 1 day today, is that enough? Maybe today and tomorrow for a start, possibly. Does he want to take a chance with Keita? But then Ox, I don't know. I might say Thiago. I think he might be Thiago.
Ross?
I would go Hendo, Thiago, Keita, but I don't think he will. That's just me living out my fantasy. I think it would likely be Hendo, Ox and Jones, just because I think they're the three fittest. Naby, do you want to take a risk on him? Does he start again one eye on Wednesday against Atletico? Can you bring Thiago in during that game? But also, what I'm thinking, Thiago, if Brighton are going to be that side that are going to be tough to break down and are going to be, you know, defensively resolute, do you need someone who's got that key pass? But obviously, Ox has got the ability to sprint and run at these teams and have a crack from 20, 25 yards. You know, depends how you want to play it. And these players don't have to play the full 90 minutes as well. We need to remember as well, you know, I could easily see Thiago coming up for half an hour towards the end of the game if needs be, to kind of build him up for these games. I agree with Conroy. I think seeing him back in training caught us all by surprise, because the club has gone like, oh, we won't put a limit on it. And then obviously Pep said maybe after the international break, maybe West Ham, and he's there in training today. But his injury record that he's had has not been great. It's been quite frustrating, actually, to be honest. I wouldn't want to rush him back for a game against Brighton, where I think we've got other midfielders that are capable of winning the game for us when we've got Atletico and West Ham as well. I think we'll be a tough opponent as well. Let's not forget that. You know.
Do you know what, lads? I've just thought of a little subplot as well. You know, with regards to Naby, whether he plays tomorrow, right, and then against Atletico, where he was brought off at half time. You know, you talk about players' confidence and sort of the psyche going into that. Do you think Do you think Conroy Klopp will be sort of resting him and giving him another chance against Atletico to show that he can play, like he can play in that level? It was fine. It was just for that game, I needed to switch it. There is a little bit of a subplot. No, yeah. I thought that now.
Possibly, Grizz. I think the Man United performance allows you to think like that, because if it's just the Atletico one and then Atletico the following week and Kate has not done anything since, I don't think it's happening. But I think because his confidence is really high there now, potentially could look at that. Obviously at Anfield, the crowd's there. It's going to be a different type of game to away game. And I do give Atletico a lot of credit, though. I think they're very good and very hard opponents. But potentially I could see that. I actually think for this game, problem siding with what Ross has said, I was kind of on the fence between Ox and Thiago, but after Ross saying that and Thiago's previous record, I'd probably change that to Ox. And it may be a case you put Ox in, and if it doesn't work out, you've got the bench there to see what can happen. But I'd say probably Atletico would suit Keita as well more than Brighton. He could play both, but I think you might just save him for Atletico.
See, the Thiago one is growing on me. The reason for that is the opposition. So Brighton are a very much a footballing team. They don't really have any, well, saying that, we've just found out, or I think Ross told us beforehand, that Bissouma did actually play half an hour, nice little warm-up for us. Bissouma being absent from their team has coincided with their rough patch. So they're winless in four. Bissouma's missed their last four. So, you know, he comes back. Tarek Lamptey will come back for them, but Dan Burns is missing. So I just thought Thiago in this kind of against this kind of team may be a good fit, but like someone said in the chat earlier, sorry I can't find it now, where it's literally at that stage where whoever he picks, I'm absolutely happy with. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like proven track record, lads. Do you know what I mean?
The bench will be strong as well, Grizz. The bench will be strong either way.
Yeah, exactly. If needs changing. So look, sorry, Big Six Bands, I don't think we've answered your question after all that. We're still unsure.
But, I've changed. Ross has changed. I think he will start now. Ross has
changed. Okay, so you got two. You got two out of three saying he starts. I don't think he will start. So make of that what you will.
Chris, do you think he plays Atletico?
Thiago.
No,
I think
Ox.
No, I think. No, I don't think Ox starts.
Do you think he plays West Ham?
Ross, no.
I think he might feature in both of those games. Like,
I think he'll feature. I genuinely think he's probably sixth choice now.
Yeah, he's done quite well off the bench recently as well.
Yeah, in terms of fitness levels, I think he plays, but I don't think he plays Atletico. I don't think he plays West Ham. So you play him now.
So that's why you play him.
Give him 70-80 minutes. Run your fucking bollocks off. Take a week off.
It's surprising how good he's been off the bench, because it used to be like he'd come on and have a shot, but he's actually Atletico and United. I thought he was quite controlled against Atletico. He tried to kind of make a bit of impact in the midfield.
He did. He did. But a lot of people are saying it's most likely Fabinho's back probably for Atletico as well. So it just puts Ox down the list. And you're right, in terms of fitness and ready, he's probably your best bet right now to give him a game tomorrow. I just don't know if he's
Ox hat trick incoming, by the way, lads. Ox hat trick incoming.
Tell you what, Conroy, you put a bet on that, mate.
Yeah, probably come through.
I said we're not winning 5-0 at Watford. Literally 5-0. Honestly. Mental.
You did as well. The up front's where it gets juicy, right? So we know Salah's a dead on cert, right? I literally can't work out, could tell you. I know Mane's everyone's, I think Mane starts. Yeah. All right. I've convinced myself Mane and Salah definitely start. Otherwise, Mane will be proper angry. Ooh, we don't want too much of an angry Mane. But then it's Bobby and Jota is a toss of a coin, like stylistically different. You look at the opposition, different. Then you look at Atletico, what are we likely to do against Atletico? I've got a feeling Jota starts instead of Mane against Atletico, because Mane's been a bit poor against them the last couple of times. And Jota, just his performance against Man United was scintillating, wasn't it? I don't know, over to you guys about this one. I think that's a bit of a tricky one, Jota or Bobby for this one.
Or you play all four of them. You play Hendo, Curtis, Jones, and play the front four, and just get the game done. You go 6-0 up at half time, and then put a Rigi on.
I would do. You know what? I wouldn't rule that out if we had Hendo and Fabinho.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Because also you're risking injuring one of them. And you don't need to.
Yeah,
I'd play Bobby. Bobby's playing some of his best football than he has done in 18 months, possibly a little longer, for the reasons that we said last time. You know, he's getting opportunities to get a rest. He's playing with his mates again. You're not dropping Salah. He's got a bit of competitiveness in Jota. He doesn't play great, then he's going to get subbed off. But obviously Jota can play anywhere across that front three. So he's getting the ability to do it. So for me, I'd play Bobby, but I'd have absolutely no problem if it was Jota.
Yeah, it's one of those calls, isn't it, Ross? Because if you look at last week, the way Brighton defended against Man City, who played with a false nine as well, right? And they didn't have a sort of striker who runs in behind, and then their three centre backs didn't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? It's like you confuse them with a Bobby style as opposed to a Jota style. I don't know. I'm torn. Are you going to go different from Ross?
I think Ross is just exactly that. What I was going to say there, if Bobby's just like Jota's signing right now, when we've got the full team back, has just made Bobby just look so free. He's forgetting about the many goals he needs to score. He's just in fantastic form right now. I think it kind of works out well, guys. I think you put Bobby in, you have Mane and you have Salah. And in Jota, to be fair, right, I actually think Jota's quite a team player in the sense of every time someone else scores, he's very much like part of that squad. And I feel like you can easily say, well, you're starting against Atletico, because I think you touched on it previously. Trippier, Mane didn't play well against Trippier. I thought he'd done quite well against him, Trippier, to stop him getting close to him, getting around him, getting any build-up. And I feel like Klopp will want to use Jota on that left-hand side with Firmino and Salah against Atletico. So I think it will be the original front three at the weekend.
Interesting. Taking that into consideration, I'm going to get your sort of opinion on predictions, so you can start closing the show as well at the end. He says, I mean, Avil Third says it's true. Potter is a bit of a wizard with his tactics. Another wise crack in there. I don't know if you guys picked that one up. But yeah, it's true. He will make it awkward. But taking into consideration how we've built up our team, what's your prediction then, Conroy? You've got a pretty shit track record. It's about time.
Yeah, no, mate, honestly. Time. Listen, it's pretty good, though, because every time I say it, it's like we win handsomely. Against Atletico, I said it'll be low scoring, 3-2. We'll win 2-0 at Watford, 5-0.
Man United one again? I can't remember.
I think, to be fair, you get away with the Man United one because that was so surreal. It's like no one's guessing that. But this one, I'm gonna go. I actually think we will keep a clean sheet, but I think it'll be 2-0. I think it'll be one of those games, possibly 3-0, but I'll go with 2-0. I do respect Brighton, and I think the way they play. I mean, you even can look at the City game. They actually still performed quite well.
They did.
In the second half. So it's not a case. I know a few people are saying they think they'll collapse. I don't think they're the type of team to collapse. I feel like they'll still keep playing their game. So for me, we need to just control it after we get the lead. So 2-0 for me.
Coolio, Ross. Top
yeah, league. Exactly the same. 2-0. Today.
Not a thrashing. No, 2-0 was a bit.
No, exactly the same as Conroy just said. I think I respect them, but also you have to take into account that Mo Salah's going to score a goal. So that's 1-0.
That's a given, mate. That's already the start. It's 1-0 already.
I just had a pack with the other lads, and I'm probably like,
is that goal start? When we've got Salah in your team, it's a goal star, isn't it?
Yeah. Salah and Mane to score the goals, but I, as we've all said, I don't think it'll be an easy game. I think they'll frustrate us a little bit. I think it's up to us to be patient. You know, you can't play Manchester United every week, so just take it as it comes. Be patient, wear them down, mentally bully them. I think obviously we've got the advantage of having the home crowd this season. They might be buoyed by beating us last season, but obviously we had the advantage of there was no atmosphere, there was no nothing. Whereas this season, we can use that to our advantage and get on top of them. Which, you know, 3 o'clock games are a bit difficult to kind of get up for sometimes. But as I said before, Brighton are fifth. Respect them. Put them to the sword, do your business, get your 3 points. Okay. Make sure at 5 o'clock, you know, you've got your 3 points, and whatever else happens.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, Ross. It's one of those rare occasions where, as I said, all three teams are kicking off at the same time, and sort of the crowd may get anxious if we hear results going the other way. If why are we talking like this in game week 8? It's fucking mad, isn't it? This is insane. Like, this could probably go all season like this, but it's true. We're going to have to be wary of their results. Obviously not when whilst we're playing, but sort of from a fan's point of view, you keep not the players and the coaches, obviously, but as fans, you know, especially the ones in the ground, I think it'll be a big bearing on how the game goes. It's because, yeah, Saturday 3 p.m. can be not the best atmosphere, let's say, but I think we owe them one. I genuinely do, lads. Like, last season would have hurt. You know, I know Klopp's got a, you know, short memory. He would have, but I think this one he would have remembered, because from what I remember of the game, lads, they did really outplay us.
Salah had a chance in like the first 2 minutes, and I think the rest of the game, Brighton just
they really outplay us
to grow into it. Yeah,
and Klopp doesn't forget things like that. I think he will be really eager to get a quick start, and yeah, with the lads refreshed and rested well, I think we should go into it roaring. And but I'm going to be boring, man. I'm going to go 2-0 as well, lads. Have we all gone 2-0, all three of us?
Yeah, yeah. I just can't see us winning 3-0. That's why I'm saying 3-0. I think it's
like, it's an away game, is it? We won't score 3.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yesterday. Do you know when Nico Williams was...
Yeah.
I thought, come on, keep this record going, Nico. Just square it. Like, tapping for tacky. Fuck it, I'm going 3-0. Sod you two. Yeah, I'm going 3-0. Yeah, and I think the other two will win as well. And I think after this next set of couple of games, like after next week as well, then we go into Atletico, and then West Ham's going to be tricky. I think we'll see a big gap, or fairly big gap, between us three and the rest of the trash, like United, etc. So I think it's a pivotal couple of weeks, lads. But thank you very much for joining me. Enjoyed that. Time fucking flew, as usually it does. Ross, stick with us, man. Don't go on any extended holidays again. Thank you very much for coming on, pal.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. And I can't praise you enough, Conroy, today. Absolutely zero mistakes. I'm trying to pile
not
on the pressure.
It, mate. Not
so, I was just
going
to say,
it,
I'm trying to pile it. On. I'm trying to pile on as much pressure as I can, so the outro is as smooth as the intro.
An absolute train right now.
But listen, nice one, people in the chat. You've been wonderful as usual. Thank you for your kind comments. Don't forget to go check out EliteMe.com for all your CBD needs. And hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes smoothly. We get 3 points, and I'll see you next week on Carnage. Thank you very much. Sports Social Podcast Network.